Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Extra Hour. This is John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today on VFN Radio is Pat and Chris. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch the first hour. We talked about Boston and just thanking God, thanking the Lord that you know, He answered our prayers. We prayed that, you know, the second suspect would be captured before sundown. That's exactly what happens. It was like, Lord, thank you so much for that. And we talked about our great humility to be, you know, upon the Lord. And my goodness, just so much. But as we're talking about this extra hour, Chris, in the beginning, when you stepped out in bold faith and decided to bless your family with a pet pup, a dog, remember that moment? When you just stepped out and obeyed the Lord like that, and you said, I'm going to do this, there were people on VFN Radio. I'm not going to mention any names because that's just not me. I'm just not going to do that. There are people on VFN Radio that couldn't believe.
You shouldn't talk about people who aren't here today. Come on.
No. They're here. Everyone
they can't defend themselves.
Right. Everyone that I'm talking about is right here on the radio, okay? Right now.
Right.
And, I mean, you are getting a tongue lashing, if you will, on a pug. You bought a what? And then if my memory serves me well, you know, I've been known to, you know, forget a couple things here or there. But if my memory serves me well,
I think you're delirious. I don't know what you're talking about.
Pat, you know, the next day, if I remember, the next day, less than 24 hours of seeing your, what he said, adorable pug, buys the pug. He wants it now, and I'm getting pictures. I mean, cooing. I'm getting all these type of pictures of Pat and the dog. He's holding him. I think he took him to the bank one time.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm like, what is this? What is going on here? But then, Greg. I mean, this. We're following the story here. This is a journey of Pat and the pug. And then Greg goes to visit the pug. I mean, he goes to the family, and he's all of a sudden the pug is tied up and chained to a door. I mean, now the cute thing is just ripping up the house, and I mean, we're in fear of the dog. We can't even give past location because we don't. I mean, we're like, send the code out. Maybe they can rescue the dog. Maybe somebody can do an operation and, you know, SEAL team can get in there and go get him because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen to the pug.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you know, Chris, we have had a lot of prayer, you know, for Pat and the pug. You know, we just didn't know how this is going to turn out.
Right,
and I want to tell you that it seems like, you know, the Lord is moving. Just yesterday, I'm looking at my iPhone right now. Just yesterday, I received a picture on my phone. Now, I am minding my own business. I am just, you know, it's Sunday, you know, I'm excited about just God, and I'm just, and I receive, you know how your phone just alerts you, text,
right?
You know, so what do I do? Everyone else just picks up your phone and just see, you know, who texted me. And I'm looking at a picture right now, and maybe we can make this available on, because, you know, I want to speak with evidence. I just don't want to be talking stuff here, but I'm looking at a picture of Pat's pug, okay? With stuffed animals, with a bed. He's got turkeys and chickens and Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, yeah.
And I'm like,
I see it.
I thought we were busy in the ministry here. You know, we got work to do. I didn't know Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't do that. That was my son's doing. He did that. I was admiring his work.
Say that again?
I was just admiring his work. I thought it was interesting. He looked very comfortable in that pile of stuffed animals.
Did he do that, or did you play with the stuffed animals? And because that's the impression that I got.
No. My son calls me and says, "Hey, Dad, come check this out." I walk into the room, and what do I find? But the dog sitting in this pile of stuffed animals, hanging on the wall. Now that's not on the floor. That's a net that's hanging on a wall, and he's just sitting in the middle of it.
He just sat there
for 2 hours.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. He just sat there.
These are my friends.
These are his buddies.
They don't talk, but these are my friends. Unbelievable. So yep. I just want to
they were
tell
bigger than
you,
he was.
I just want to share. I'm not totally convinced that the dog was just placed. You know, he jumped in there on his own. I tend to think that maybe Pat was playing there. I mean, all you see is his head poking out. I mean, you see just stuffed animals all over the place, and you have to look. It's like, you know, one of these artistic projects. You got to look real close, and all you see is a little cute pug. He's getting cuter as I'm looking at the picture here. Mm-hmm. That the mush face doesn't seem that mushed anymore.
He's filling out a little bit. He's gained a little weight.
Face? Are you? Don't tell me.
Pulling on his cheek.
You better not be touching that dog like that. Stop. I mean, it looks like he has a nose now. What's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, hopefully one day I'll get a chance to see Samson, right?
Yeah, Samson.
Wow. Everybody, that's all these strong names for some reason. Samson.
Very masculine.
Oh, my.
Anyway.
Well, we're going to leave the pug alone, but I just want to share that with you, Chris, because let me say, God's on the move. God's
on the move.
Hearts are being melted. Hearts are being melted, and mm-hmm. we rejoice.
Whatever it takes, right?
Well, guys, I was reading in God's Word of the Bible, and I just came across something that just my goodness, just gripped me. But you know that, you know, when Abraham and his nephew, they parted ways, and Lot was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. God was getting ready to destroy that city, and so much so that since a couple of angels down there are saying, you know, Lot, you got to get out.
Time to go.
You got to get out of here.
Pack your bags.
Pack your bags and head out of Dodge. So Lot starts talking to his family. He starts talking to the son-in-laws that were pledged to be married to his daughters. And the Word of God says that his son-in-laws thought he was joking. Like, they just laughed at the warning. They just thought he was joking. Mm-hmm. So the next verse of Scripture says that with the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry!" Exclamation point. Hurry. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when the city is punished. And then in verse 16, this is a chapter 19, says, when he hesitated, mm-hmm. The men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Mm. And it's like, wow. Let me tell you something. If God's telling you to move, God's telling you to do something, God's telling you to tell somebody something, if God's telling you anything, you want to move
quickly
when God's telling you to move. Mm-hmm. You want to move when God's saying it. I mean, it's like, Lot, dude, two angels are standing in front of you telling you, dude, we're about to wreak havoc up in this place. You know what I'm saying? You got to get out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. And you think about, he says, hurry. Hurry. And my goodness, where's the urgency, right? It's mm-hmm. God speaking to respond. And so the angel took his hand, his wife's, his daughter's, just let's go.
Right, right.
But God had mercy. And I'm telling you that God's mercy, we talked about it in the first hour, can't take God's mercy for granted. Mm-mm. You can't just take God's mercy and just throw it away side and just say, okay, let me just contemplate on your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
When God speaks, there's an urgency to respond to him speaking, and you got to move with God. And you think about if there was any more hesitation, Lot hesitated. And if there's any more hesitation, it could have been all over for them.
Mm-hmm.
And even as they're fleeing, the angel's saying, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere on the plane.
Right.
Flee. You know what I'm saying? Don't just get out of here. Just don't even look back. And Lot's wife, you know, she had something in her heart. You know, she looked back.
Yeah.
And she looked back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your head is never going to accept or understand what God's telling you to your spirit. I mean, we talked about in, you know, last week where Abraham and Sarah, you know, God spoke to them. God spoke to Abraham, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah was figuring in her mind how to bring to pass what God said he was going to do with Abraham.
Exactly.
God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you descendants of, you know, as numerous as the sands in the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do this. And because some time went by, I believe it was about 10 years, Sarah thought, well, you know what? I guess I need to make this and help God out and bring this thing to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't need any help. I think this was my plan, my idea.
Right.
This is Genesis 16. It says she concocts this idea about Hagar, and all of a sudden they're birthing, you know, plans and children that did not start in the heart of God.
Right.
And we'll talk about this today about, you know, we need to have plans that start in the heart of God, not plans that start in the heads of men.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Plans that start in the heart of God must be done with God's heart, not with our head. And I just think about Lot, and I think about, you know, the connection with all of this is saying, dude, God's speaking. God's speaking, you got to respond in your spirit. You can't respond in your head. And if you start to think in and hesitation, is like all that, it's all of that is about, you know, trying to figure it out. And sometimes we have a setting, you know, you come to realize it's probably pride.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pride. Sometimes if you're just so used to moving in pride or moving into that area of just everything has to make sense and figure out,
mm-hmm.
you just miss that the whole simple part of humility. It's
right.
Like, you know, Lot had to think about, well, I didn't get here on my own. You know what I'm saying? If you took credit for all of that, then he has to think about it. But if you realize that he got into that area because God just allowed him and pointed him in that area, and you're in that area now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and God blessed it, what are you thinking? Just do. Just
yeah.
just listen to what God's saying.
Exactly. That's so good.
Yeah, it's just move and step with God.
Amen.
You know, step with God and don't hesitate because God's speaking. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I recently was speaking with a lady at my job. I work in the family court, domestic relations, and I was encouraging her with scripture because she was a little down and depressed about her situation. It was reported to the man that I work for, who is a judge. He spoke with me and said that I cannot do that in the court building because of the church and state issue.
Well, yeah, I hate to disagree with a judge, but, you know, oftentimes we do, and with all respect, the judge doesn't understand that when you go to work, your First Amendment rights go with you. You can't be actively, quote, proselytizing, but you certainly, in a conversation with another employee, can have a discussion about your faith, or if she's facing a serious problem and needs some spiritual encouragement, you should be able to do that. But again, I point to the fact, who's going to decide your case? A federal judge, if it ever went to court somewhere. That's why we need the right judges to not be confused about church-state separation.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today that's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen, and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. This is John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. Oh, my man, I tell you, Chris, he likes playing with pugs and dogs, but I sure like the music he picks out. He's got some good producing skills.
I'm glad somebody does.
He's got some decent skills. And my goodness, you know, we were talking a little bit before we left the break about plans that start in the heart of God, mm-hmm. as opposed to in the heads of men. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, the word says that many are the plans. Many are the plans in a man's heart. But it's the Lord that directs his steps. You know, it's not just important to have a plan, but more importantly, God's plan. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody can come up with a plan, right? Mm-hmm. All of man's plans that revolve around men, you know, they're without regard to God. They ultimately end up with confusion, a scattering, and a dismantling. You know what I'm saying? When you start getting into your own ways, your own stuff, it's like, this started out good, but it's just like it's all unraveling. Mm-hmm. I can't keep it together.
Right.
So there's an importance, there's an increased importance in seeking God's will when making plans, right? It's like, okay, God, what is your will? And so often I see, and maybe you guys, you know, see this as well, but so often I see amongst the church that so many people are focused on getting God to bless their plans as opposed to just doing what God's plans are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're spending all this time to get God to bless what you want to do, mm-hmm. instead of asking God the question, God, what are your plans?
Exactly.
What do you want to happen? What is your will? And you think of the scheme of things, and you think at life, like, who are we? Think about this. We're like, I'm praying, God, do this and do that, because I got plans. I want to do this, and I got plans. And it's like an ant trying to give direction to a human. You know what I mean? Can you tell me what to do? Can you, like, you're not even on the charts. Wouldn't it be wiser to say, you know, God, since you hold all things together, since, you know, God, me being born wasn't even part of my plan, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Since you're the one that knit me in my mother's womb, and the way I walk and talk and breathe and look and act and everything about my being is because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God, maybe since, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time, and maybe, God, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know, God knows, the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. Maybe I should not be trying to get you to bless my plans, but just maybe I should ask God, What are your plans, God? What do you want to do?
All right.
And I think that would be a really good approach, because the truth of the matter is that just because a goal was completed and you did something doesn't necessarily mean that God was in it.
Right.
And a lot of times we can attempt things in our flesh and our own understanding and our own ideas and try to put a stamp that, oh, God did that. God's like, I didn't do that. I didn't tell you. Just because you finished something doesn't mean that God told you to do it.
Yeah.
Think about in the last days, at the end, you know, when we see the Lord, everything that's not of God, every wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt up. It's like, I didn't tell you to do any of that. go ahead and put that on the torch. Now, this one thing I told you to do that you thought was insignificant. Now, that is a blessing for that right there. All that other stuff, go ahead and just throw all of that on the pile there.
Right, exactly.
What are you going to do with that? Is there a special room? Yeah, it's called the incinerator. We're going to take care of that. Now, let's deal with this thing. And I think about in Genesis 11:3, and this is what they said. They said, this is what the people at the time said that inhabit the earth. They said to each other, not God now, they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. We're talking about not plans that start in the heart of God, you know, plans that start in the heart of God versus plans that start in the heads of men. So they thought to themselves and they said, let's gather, let's get these bricks, let's get this mortar, let's get this tar, let's build for us a city with a tower. I'm saying, reaches to the heavens. We've got vision. It's going to be the tallest skyscraper in the skyline. And we're going to build this city. We're going to build this place so that we will make a name for ourselves. And two things. And we will not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.
Wow.
I mean, think about self-preservation and pride. Like this. Let me tell you something. All plans that start in pride and self-preservation are doomed to fail.
That's right.
I mean, you can save yourself a bunch of heartache, pain, crying, belly aching, repenting. You can save all of that if you answer two questions. I'm taking notes of myself here, by the way. I hope somebody's writing. Now you can get this. This is good. This is not in my notes, right? Is that if anything that starts in pride, right, it has to do with exalting or self-preservation, let me tell you something. That's going to come crashing down. And these people rallied and organized. They rallied and organized, making a name for themselves. How many people today are ambitious? you know, to glorify themselves instead of living a life that glorifies God.
Right.
Now, we were made to reflect God's glory. You know, God touches us and there's a grace on our lives where things are happening and your life is just glorifying and glowing. It's not so that we can attract people to us and say, wow, look how great I am. Look how smart I am. It's to say, oh, no. We're just like the moon. The moon has no light of itself. It just reflects the light, the glory of the sun. Mm-hmm. We reflect and say, no. This is God. This is God blessing me. And when God's blessing me, this just points to how awesome and amazing the Lord is.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, it was about building a city and a tower to show their confidence in themselves, a greatness, a beauty, and a majesty that was separate from God.
Mm.
I think about Abraham, when Abraham said, listen, I refuse, King, for you to give me or bless me with anything. I refuse to be blessed that doesn't come from the hand of God. No, you can't give me nothing. Right. I'm going to meet with Melchizedek.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna deal with the king of Salem and I'm gonna give him a tenth. I don't need your spoils. I don't need your stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no blessing that doesn't come from the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Abrahams today to say, you know what I'm saying? I don't want no ill-gotten gain.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Everything that I want is from the Lord. But these guys wanted to have a separate glory. They wanted to build something. They wanted to do something. They wanted to build a name for themselves, not a name for God. And they wanted to protect themselves, self-preservation. And you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, it's so important not to look for success in terms of self-exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about actually in the VFN radio about God's plans, God's ways, God's timing equals success.
That's right.
God's plans, God's ways, you know, and his timing equals success. If you miss any of those three, you're in trouble. You know what I mean? Because it still could be God's way and God's plans. But if you miss the timing of God, it's still not God.
Right.
And it's the importance of abiding, the importance of spending time with God, the importance of reading his word and praying and being in daily and continual prayer. You know, abiding is not something that you just do in the morning when you open your Bible and you're reading God's word and God speaks to you in your journal and then you don't close up the Bible and close up your journal and say, okay, God, I'm off on my day. You stay here at the house here on the couch. No. That morning time that you spend with the Lord is just the beginning of the day. It's the rekindling of where you just left off, where you closed your eyes and said, God, speak to me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the last thing on your mind. So when you wake up in the morning, spend time with him, you're not leaving him in the home, you're not mm-hmm. leaving him in the office, not leaving him, you know, on the couch where you put your Bible down. Now you're saying, I'm continuing to walk with you. I'm abiding with you all day. I'm communing with you. I'm praying with you. And life becomes a continual prayer, becomes a continual conversation. You know, it's amen is the pause until the next sentence as we're driving down is just reflecting and meditating on God, and we're listening to his voice, and
right.
we're with him every day, mm-hmm. all day long. You know, it's one thing to pray a prayer, but what about living a prayer?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in continual communion and fellowship with him. So I think about this tower that they were trying to build at the same day that God speaks to me about this. The Denver Post puts out an article, a segment, a little blurb, that says the One World Observatory, which will occupy the towers, the 100th, I guess, floor, the size is more than 1,200 feet over lower Manhattan. One World Trade Center will be the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere at 1,776 feet.
Mm.
And it's like this tower, the strength, the, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like, you know, you stick your head up, pride always stands up, like it gets chopped off. You know what I'm saying? It's like, stay low. What's this, you know,
exactly.
What's the need for that? What's the pounding of, you know, strong and
mm-hmm.
look at our might and getting glory for ourselves. And I'm thought, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So everything that begins in pride starts, you know, in just carnal thinking, this is not going to last.
All right.
And if you think about the church at large, I mean, are we more interested in building beautiful Ephesuses, places of architectural beauty, or are we more interested in constructing buildings that just maximize the church's effort in the expansion of the kingdom of God? You know what I mean? I'm like, I ain't nothing against buildings. You know what I'm saying? We can use a building for anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Buildings are the church. The church is the people of God. It's when any two or three are gathered in his name, God, Jesus is there in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what you know, what are we doing about, you know, we what's the purpose behind the construction?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you want to think, when I think about what these guys were doing when they were building the Tower of Babel, right, I think about, oh my goodness, how many Towers of Babel have been created in life and in ministry and all these things that started in people's heads, never, ever, ever was in the heart of God.
Right.
So what happened? God sees that they're constructing this thing in their own strength and said, I'm going to have to go visit these guys.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have to go visit them. Verse 7 says, come, let's go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. You know, actually, let me back up. Verse 5 says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse their language. You know, and my goodness, sometimes we can't even be successful because they'll think it's all about them. It's like, no, they're going to mess it up.
Right.
And they're all that. Before you know it, they'll create statues for themselves next. Look at this thing we did. God's like, let me help them in their, I guess, foolish pride. Let me just scatter them here. Let me. So what's the next verse? So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel. The very thing that they said they wanted to do was build a city and a tower for themselves so that they will not be scattered is the very thing that God did.
That's right.
He scattered them. Because it's not about the plans that start in our head. We want to be people of God that say, God, what are your plans? And maybe you just realized today that you've been trying and struggling for God to bless what's in your head. That the things that you've attempted to do in your life, the things you've attempted to do in your ministry, the things you've attempted to do in your marriage and your children and your finances and all these different things all really started out just in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when God didn't answer, when God didn't bless it, maybe you were confused and blame God.
Right.
Well, maybe God didn't want that for you. You know, since our existence on earth wasn't our idea. You know what I'm saying? No one had the idea that I'm gonna come to earth. It was all because God allowed us to. Then maybe we should always be humble enough to say, you know, God, what are your plans? Mm-hmm. You know, all of God's plans for us are perfect, they're wonderful, they're great. Since he's the one that's created us and knows everything about us and knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time,
right.
Wisdom and humility would dictate that we say, God, you choose. You choose and turn my heart to what's your heart. God, help me to hate what you hate. Help me to love what you love. And that's really the beginning of the fear of the Lord. Help me to hate what you hate and help me to love what I love. You know, I was talking with somebody last night that they were reading scripture and they were talking about how we cry out for mercy and God, I'm crying out to you and I'm nothing. It's like the psalm that David's writing. I wish I could remember it to you. He's like, I'm nothing. I'm dirt, God, and touch me. And it's like, where do we go from that place of humility that I'm nothing? I was just lying in my pool of blood and you said live.
Right.
To all of a sudden, you got plans. You're doing something. You got this. He's like, wait. What happened here?
Yeah.
What? What did you just get edumacated somewhere? What happened? What? Who stepped in? Who cut in on? Who has bewitched you? What has been started in the spirit? Are you now what? trying to do in the flesh. You were just lying there in your pool of blood and God rescued you. You had nothing going on. You were rejected by men. Your sins and your trials and your stinking thinking got you in all this type of situation.
Right.
And when God rescued you. And all we just says, God, if you get me out of this one, yeah. If you get me out. And what happened that we forgot? And all of a sudden, we start taking credit for what God's done in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, lower still.
No.
Lower still. And it's the place where we need to be. Now, Psalms 139, verse 24 says, search me, O God. Because, you know, your heart, the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked. No man can know it. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. It says, search me, O God. And know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That may seem like a scary prayer, but it's really not a scary prayer. You know what I'm saying? It's not nothing that we should be like, oh my goodness, I want to pray that. No, we should be like, you know what, God? I'm so tired of making these dumb mistakes. I'm so tired of making these plans that don't work out. That, you know, I'm tired of having all these Ishmaels all over the place.
Right.
It's Ishmael 35. I got a trophy case for Ishmaels. I want you to take it for
you. Right.
That's
right.
The first decade of my life. He's the first 10 Ishmaels.
Yeah.
Now I want to show you the second half of the house where I have the other 30 Ishmaels. It's like, are we not tired of all these things that we just try to get God to bless? And there's there's tragedy all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it better just to say, you know, God, just tell me what's in my heart. I'm going to stop telling you what's in my heart. You tell me what's in my heart so that I can get it right with you. And I ask you for the grace.
Yeah.
Grace is, because, you know, you may be feeling overwhelmed and saying, you know, I don't even know how I got here. What grace is God's unmerited favor on your life. What does that mean? You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God touches you. He puts favor on your life for good stuff to happen, not only to you, but through you. And it's God's supernatural empowerment. It's God's supernatural ability for you to do what you could not even do in your own strength. And when you come to the end of yourself and you realize, man, I can't even save myself. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even save myself.
Right.
Jesus had to save me. If you couldn't save yourself, then how could you fix yourself? Or how did you have this plan for this or have your plan for that?
Yeah.
Humility just says, you know, God, I just cry out for your grace from my heart to not to skip in my own beat, but with my heart to beat with your heartbeat. Then we'll walk together. I walk with you, not you walk with me. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I remember one night we went camping in Louisiana.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost went camping. Oh, what an adventure, Pat. What an adventure.
Yeah,
You were going, I think you were headed to Texas.
I was headed to Texas.
You were headed to Texas.
Uh-huh.
And what happened? You had to get something. Something was wrong with your car. I don't remember what happened, but something was wrong with your car, right?
Well, we had this great, wonderful time of fellowship and meal
And just so, you know, so just really enjoyed that.
At the Lone Star. That's right.
It was the Lone Star. And for some reason, they wanted money after the meal.
What were they thinking?
And the card wouldn't work. It just wouldn't. Well, something was gone wrong. And here we were in the middle of Louisiana. We were in Baton Rouge. Was it Baton Rouge?
No, Bossier City.
Bossier City. And I thought I knew Bossier City, but I was about to really know Bossier City. And so I needed to find an ATM an ATM. And so because John's, you know, been there a while. He is the chaplain for
LSU Medical Center.
LSU Medical Center. He'd just gotten off his stress treadmill. And we were and so we told the people at the restaurant, says, we're good for this. We'll come back with money. And so I didn't know any place in this, I guess you would call it a town, but he knew, John knew, his friends was there, and he knew the mayor's son-in-law. Was it the mayor's son-in-law?
Son.
Oh, it was the mayor's son.
Mayor's son.
So, right. And so you take me right to the mayor's son. I believe he was like hiding out under a tree in a rickety old place, and he was armed, right?
Yeah. We show up, right? So we got to find it. We don't know where in the world this ATM is.
You got to understand now. We're talking. See, our listeners don't think. Just go to Google Maps. You know, just go.
No. This is before.
This is before that. This is. Yeah. I mean, we probably just got ATMs. It was just AT back then. It wasn't even AT. We didn't have an M on the end.
It was a while back. So we didn't know where in the world we were going. I said, all right, let me call.
I was letting John lead me.
I said, come on. Let's find this guy. So we show up.
I felt, from all my law enforcement experience, I felt like I was undercover again and we were trying to do a deal or something. It's, you know, it felt just like it would be somebody who was trying to score a drug or something. Like, what is this going? Didn't it feel like, it's like, it was eerie, right?
Yeah.
We pull up to your friend's house.
He's not my friend.
Well, you knew who he was. He goes, hey, John, as he was loading his gun.
So we show up and he's sitting in the dark outside in a chair. With a gun strapped to his leg,
yes,
outside.
And what part of Louisiana is this? What was it again?
This is Bossier City. This is Mirasol.
Bossier City, I'm talking about.
Mm.
And I said, we need some help. We hadn't realized that they were actually a bail bondsman in the city. And so we actually went over there, and he got in the car and says, I'll help you out. I know exactly where to take you. So he hops in the front seat.
Loads his gun, sticks it back in his holster. Yeehaw!
And he's driving us all over Bossier City trying to find that.
We were in his car?
No, we were in your car.
Okay, so we put this armed.
Yes.
in our car. Okay.
Well, I felt safe. He was the mayor's son.
Yeah. We have a whole nother session coming up on PKs and soldiers and children. Yeah.
So he's driving us all
this
over the place.
This is Nadab and Abihu. Everything's cool here.
Yeah, we're good.
It's totally cool. I mean, this is Solomon's son. This is Eli's boys, man. We got this puppy made.
Oh, my goodness. And he drove us all over the place, finally downtown. I think we were cruising
the town. It was just like this eerie, like, how do we get him out of this car?
Is he going to rob
us? I mean, you can't just like, yeah, exactly. It's like, where is he taking us? You know, these are in the woods, you know. It's like, oh my goodness.
Okay, this is downtown. This is nice. This is who kept block. I said,
okay, this is the graveyard. Okay, got it. This is the woods. You know, and then you're literally thinking, you can't just like, get out of my car, mirror son, with a gun. You're just thinking like, we're going down. We're going down.
If a tree falls in the forest, will anyone hear it?
If we scream and what's the town called again?
What?
Bodon? What's the town?
Bossier.
Bossier.
If a man screams in Bossier when he's getting shot, does he make a noise? I'm thinking, we're fixing to go down. It all started, man, with a mill. But of course, a long story short, we could not find an ATM in Bodon. Was it Bodon?
Bossier.
Just trying to get you guys active. You know what I'm talking about? Well, anyway, in Bodon. And so we finally, the old-fashioned way, and got some cash and just, instead of anything, just paid for the situation. And and it was off to Texas. It was amazing. You can't even describe some of the things we've been through. Mm. But I think there has been worse times in ministry than that.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about, my goodness, we need to have plans that start in the heart of God instead of plans that start in the heads of men.
That's right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't end well. It doesn't end well.
Not at all.
You know, in VFN Radio, we've been talking about technology and the advancement of technology and how much, my goodness, in the last 5 years alone, in the last 5 years, we've seen incredible things. I was just talking to someone, Pat and Chris, about Skyping. I remember when Skype came out, it was just like nobody was really interested in it. It kind of worked a little bit, video, but, you know, it's cool. And then they made an app for it. You know, cell phones became more out there, and you could do more things. And they made an app for it. And I'm like, okay, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then you could only use the app. It was still hazy, like you couldn't see clear, and it was, you know, choppy.
Yeah.
You know, it
didn't stream very well.
Yeah, it wasn't didn't stream well, but you still could do it. And then they made up, you could only use it on Wi-Fi. You had to have a Wi-Fi connection. You know, you only had the Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
And now the technology is that you can use your regular internet 3G, 4G connection on your phone, and you can Skype anybody, anywhere. Somebody could be in downtown Manhattan and someone could be, you know, on the beach of California, and they could literally be communicating coast to coast and showing the difference. Mm-hmm. It's just that alone in itself is huge. I mean, remember as a kid, the big thing was like in the year 2000. I remember going to Disney World. I remember going to the Disney World at Epcot Center and the future car. And then the year 2000, what's it going to look like?
Yeah, right.
And we remember we're going to be able to talk on a phone and we have a video and you're going to be able to pick up the house phone off your wall. No concept of like cell phones doing this, but you're going to pick up the house phone. That's what you think of. And you're going to look at someone and stand there.
Yeah.
And
they have
now
that.
Now we have technology. Just use your cell phone. Well, we've talked about so much on intelligence and artificial intelligence. We even talked about Ray Kurzweil, who is this thinker and innovator that has, my goodness, just created so much technology. In fact, he wrote a book called the Creating a Mind. They figured out how the mind works. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to make this artificial intelligence. He actually works with Google now. And did you know that Google just released their Google Glass? And we talked about this on VFN Radio. That allows you to put on these glasses that you're able to, you know, see different things, look at someone and research their picture or look at something in the street and say, what is that? Or convert. Well, right now, since it's still in this beta thing, it's cost $1,500 just for the glasses, just for you to be a part of this beta experiment. Mm-hmm. And Google just announced that if you give your glasses to anybody else besides yourself, you're just going to have very expensive eyewear on your glasses, on your head, because they will deactivate you.
Really?
Yes. I mean, it's like we're giving ourselves up so much to technology.
That's crazy.
Well, you know what I'm saying? They know exactly. They're going to know. What Google's telling you is they're going to know.
That it's not you.
It is not you because you've given it to somebody else. It's that much tracking. They also, in March, they have this technology, huge, I don't want to say fair, but at the symposium.
Convention.
I guess, convention in Austin. They just had it in March. Mm-hmm. And Google released that they have sneakers that communicate with your phone. So,
what?
I mean, it's not bad enough that this phone knows exactly where I'm sitting at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now if I have the shoes, it's going to know my every step. And you're thinking about, oh my goodness, where is this technology taking us? Where's this technology taking us? Well, we have, I don't know if you guys heard about this. There's this new technology called Oculus Rift. Oculus Rift. Now, Oculus Rift are these, it's a headset, a goggle, if you will, that these guys invented to basically make more virtual reality in the gaming. You know, and you, these games that these kids are playing now on the computer, I say kids, I mean grown adults, men, everyone playing these games.
Yeah, right.
Shooting games and just all type of, I forget, they have a word for them. I don't know that the reality type games where you're going through different things. You're in the game.
Virtual reality.
Yeah, virtual reality. Well, these goggles, they're like amazing. Like so, there's this promotional video which we'll probably make available for you that has all of these major CEOs of companies saying, we want to use this technology. We want to integrate this because it's so real. I mean, you're putting these goggles and you're literally there. Well, we have a video that we're going to play for you of a 90-year-old grandmother. I guess one of the guys got their hands on these Googles, these goggles.
All right.
and Google's not related with this company, by the way. Separate
okay.
thing. Totally, completely separate. But they put it on the grandmother, and you hear them talking, look, Grandma, what do you see? What do you see now? And she's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, am I going to fall? Am I going to fall? Right, and right. And she's like, oh, you know, am I in Tuscany?
Mm-hmm.
It appears like we're having some difficulty getting this video to play. I'm just going to talk to you about it a little bit. But she's saying, and hopefully we'll revisit this and so you can actually see it. But she's saying, oh, and he says, Grandma, do you feel the wind? She goes, oh, is that me? What is that? They're like, I mean, you see her. She's like, oh, this is amazing. Oh. And they're just laughing. And she's, bless her heart, she's the cutest thing.
Yeah.
And he says, Grandma, turn your head to the right. What do you see? And she's like, oh, is that going to hit me? She's bending her head down. And she's like, oh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. I'm in Tuscany. I'm like, oh. And she's like, it just feels so real. She's like, can I get in the water? And she's playing. She's like, can I jump in the water? And you look
Are you
at
serious?
This yes, and it's just like mine was just so real. And you look at this technology, you know, let me tell you something. This thing can just take us down. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that can be done with technology.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I mean, there's so many people that are going to be deceived. You know, there's even this whole virtual game or lifestyle called, I think it's called Second Life. I don't know if you heard of that. Second Life, where people create these sim characters. You create a character of yourself and you make, it's like make pretend world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a make pretend world. And people create businesses in this virtual world. They create who they are. If they're shorter, they make themselves taller. If they're larger, they make themselves skinnier. They do all these different things. And it's just like, oh my goodness, what's happening? What's happening? What are we doing? We live in this voyeuristic world. We need reality. I think we have it. This video working. I just want you to listen to her experience. Are you listening to VFN Radio? Listen up.
Mouth and shot.
Ah! Is it too big for your head?
I'm holding it tight.
What do you?
She's good. She's good. Did you get the picture of her doing that?
I'm not. I'm taking a video. This is going on YouTube.
Oh man.
Siti, what do you think?
It's so real, and it's a picture in here, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Lottie.
That's pretty cool, right?
It sure is. And you know what? Is it my eyes, or are the leaves blowing?
They're blowing. You're right. You see it.
Is it my eyes?
Oh, man.
The leaves blowing.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Do you want to see the ocean?
Yeah.
All right, I'll walk you over to the ocean. Oh. You want to look over to your left, I believe? Yeah, that way.
So she's looking to the left with these goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing her the ocean.
Yeah.
And look a little bit towards your right. Yeah, keep going to your right.
I see something coming.
Yeah, you're going to want to turn
put her up close here to something so she can look
yeah,
like
should
it.
Should I put my bathing suit on?
Yeah.
You look hey, put my bathing suit on. Oh, don't tell me over the water.
You can look over the water if you want, all the way to the right.
Oh, man.
See the island out there?
Now, originally, were these taken in
Destiny?
No, that's all 3D. Somebody made that all on the computer.
Oh, that's right, it's in 3D too.
My. It's all made on the computer.
Oh my.
Does it look like legit 3D?
Oh, it looks like the sun is coming up. Hi, guys.
Hey, Judy.
Wow.
Hi.
Amazing.
She's having this experience.
She's having a ball, man.
She's having a ball. She's sitting in this chair. They're like, scoot her up. Let her put her elbows down. But she's like, huh? And you hear her say, is it my eyes or are the leaves really blowing?
Yeah, are the leaves
really blowing? And it's just so beautiful to see, you know, it could be any of our grandmothers, you know, experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, now, were these real pictures taken from Tuscany? And the grandson says, no, Grandma. Those are actual 3D, those created in a with computers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not even using real pictures. And, you know, although the technology is amazing and you can do so many things,
mm-hmm.
you know, the concern here is that more and more people are checking out of reality because they don't want to deal with real issues and are this escapism,
mm-hmm.
you know, to live in a virtual make-pretend world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, sometimes you got to talk to people in reality. It's like, you know, you really don't own this car. This house is not really yours. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's live in reality. Let's live in reality. Somebody was sharing about there's three type of perceptions about, you know, focuses on how people think. Like, there's a projected image, what people want to project on others of who they are. There's a perceived image, different images, right? There's mm-hmm. a perceived image, how other people perceive us. And then there's who we actually are, how God sees us and who we are. And so many people want to live outside of who they really are because they don't like who they don't like their situation. And instead of getting right with God and dealing with their situation, and this is reality, this is how God sees me, this is how I am, this is what's going on in my life, let me just get right, let me just repent.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this, you know, Facebook world type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's like, man, you are blinging it there. He's like, no, let's just get it right. Let's not try to settle for a voyeuristic experience and an escapism. Because let me tell you, this is, you know, many will be deceived. Many, many will be deceived in these last days. And this could be a whole used so much by, you know, the Antichrist. This could be so used of the enemy to deceive so many people to be taken down and to accept all kinds of, you know, mark of the beast could be anything. And it's like, you know what? Let's not try to escape reality. No matter what you're facing today, it is what it is. God can forgive you. And God can take your situation and turn it around 100%. Real life with God is always better than a fake world.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.